Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome back to another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We have plenty of important things that we are going to talk about. We've got some KU football stuff that we're going to spend a lot of time with, specifically regarding the new rules for name, image, and likeness, otherwise known as NIL. This is a really, really hot topic among folks in the world of sports, and it's something that is not going away anytime soon. It's the new reality for college football, and it's something we're going to delve into pretty deeply in this edition of the Slant Podcast. We'll also be joined by former KU assistant AD and baseball player Matt Beatty, who's representing several KU athletes in the NIL process. He's going to break down exactly what NIL means, what you can do, maybe a little bit about what you can't do, and the impact that this will have on recruiting current players and the transfer portal. Sometimes, though, you've got to call an audible, because this was going to be a football-only podcast. But with so many things going on revolving around Kansas basketball today, we had to bring in our man Shay Wildebor to talk about some big news related to Kansas basketball. We didn't know if he was going to make it. We weren't sure if he was going to be able to pull it together, but he did, and he will be on with us momentarily. In fact, he's on with us right now. Let me welcome in Shay Wildebor, who's going to join us for a few minutes here. Shay, how you doing this evening?
I'm well, man. It was a long day, and had a media day, a commitment, a son's football game, man. So I'm I love the Slant Podcast. I love you and Kirby, but I'm ready to get in and get out. And
you sound like you're about ready for a nap.
I I'll say this, you know, John 20 years ago gave me this opportunity, and it's, people say we live a dream job, and we do. I think I think we're all pretty fortunate. But man,
no
some
doubt.
Days we're like everybody else. We get tired. We kind of hit that wall, and I'm tired tonight, man. I'm tired, but it's good to be here. Talk some hoops. You know, big day, Big 12 media day, big day getting a commitment for the Jayhawks. So yeah, it's been a day filled with a little bit of everything.
There you go. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in our guy. You mentioned John Kirby, the publisher of Jayhawk Slant, the man on the Kansas football beat that knows this program better than anybody else. John, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Randy. You know, hearing Shay, and I know he had some news. He was busy and going all day. This is that, I've always liked the time of year and the time of season where basketball and football kind of start hitting together, right? Where, you know, mm-hmm. I'm up covering the players, talking to these guys. Shay's at Big 12, and it's a good time when football and basketball kind of start coming together. I've always liked that part.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, this is my favorite time of year anyway. I love the temperatures. I love fall weather. I love Halloween. But, you know, this is also a time when you have basically every major sport in this country happening at the same time. And I absolutely love that. And it makes our job a lot of fun when we can talk about Kansas football and Kansas basketball at the same time. And this has been, you know, today has been one for the books. There's been a little bit of everything going on. I mean, obviously, like we mentioned, huge commitment for Bill Self and the Jayhawks while they were in the midst of Big 12 media day. You know, the coaches show with Lance Leipold today. Obviously gearing up for the game against Oklahoma. Kirby having Matt Beatty joining us here in a little bit to talk about NIL. I mean, there's so much happening right now. It is the best time of the year, and I'm excited to get into this. Shay, I know it's been a busy one for you. As you mentioned, I know you're tired, and actually it sounds like you're kind of like a kid. You know, you're giddy because of everything that's been going on, but you're trying to survive on adrenaline.
For sure.
You've been at Big 12 Media Day. You've been talking to players. You know, Bill Self and Travis Goff both had opportunities to address the media and talk about some of the biggest things going on regarding Kansas athletics and specifically Kansas basketball. And then the big news, maybe the biggest news of the day for Kansas basketball, the commitment of our man Ernest Uday. Tell us about the commitment, which just happened an hour or so ago.
Yeah, this is one, Randy, I'd kind of expected for a while now.
You had mentioned that before. You absolutely had told us this was likely.
Yeah. He had visited, I think, UCLA at the beginning of the month. I think 10-2 was the weekend, and followed it up with a visit to Kansas. And following his visit, it became clear to me that this was going to be his choice. Listen, they needed a game-changing big man in this class, and that's what they got in Ernest. 6'10", and today I even talked to somebody who said maybe even closer to 7 foot, about 235, can get up and down the court, block shots. I mean, he's. I was told by somebody that I trust that this is a guy that the staff would welcome on the roster this year and have an impact. I mean, and this is a team that potentially can go 10 deep. So this is a guy next year that's going to come in and really should fill a role immediately. And they needed, listen, they had Johan Traore visit, obviously, Adam Bona visited, obviously, and then this. I mean, they had to land a quality big man. It's my understanding, and I could be totally wrong on this, that Adam is actually going to go to UCLA and not Kentucky. And then obviously you've got Ernest committing to Kansas. That leaves Johan. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I do know that Kansas got, of the really the three difference makers in the class as far as big men, Kansas got the guy they wanted. I mean, this is a guy that's going to come in right away and help. And I also think over time he's going to be a guy that you're going to see just keep getting better and better. Offensively, defensively, blocking shots, rebounding. I mean, as somebody I trust today told me, a scout told me, that his best days of basketball are still in front of him. And yeah, huge. Anytime you can beat out UCLA and, you know, some other schools like that, you know, it's not typically normal that a kid just cut his list to two, but that's what he did last week. And yeah, certainly a big win for Kansas. A really huge class so far. They've got, you know, another kid committing on November 1st, Brandon Miller, I'm sorry. So class potentially might not be done yet, but today is I know the theme on the message board is, okay, who's next? But I think this is one that Kansas fans need to enjoy for a little bit, because this is a kid that the staff heavily pursued, put in a lot of work, and, you know, with everything going on in the world of Kansas basketball, you don't want to take anything for granted, and absolutely got a difference maker. And it was a big day for this staff, no doubt about it. I don't think this is one that should be overlooked or be taken for granted. Obviously, I know for a while it looked like it was going to be Kansas, but it's a huge thing today for this staff.
You've talked about this class and you know, the potential for maybe even another addition, as you just said. Tell us what you think of the group overall, and how good could this group that would be coming in, obviously, next year, how good could they be?
I think they have a chance to be a really good group. You know, the thing with, and I don't want to panic anybody, but I mean, everybody knows, I think the thing you have to do first is you got to get MJ Rice on campus. I know there's always been talk about, you know, the professional route with him. I've talked to him. I've talked to his father. They've made it perfectly clear that winning a national championship at Kansas next season is the end goal. But, you know, he's a guy that's really, really taken his game to the next level. I know some people think he's a top 10 guy. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he's really improved his shot. Great looking body, guy that can get to the rim. You know, a guy that's aggressive getting off the bounce to the goal. You know, a guy that can score from all three levels. I mean, just an uber talented guy. Grady Dick, you know, I love his length. He's got some athleticism. I love the way he can shoot the ball. He struggled at times this summer, and I think people point to that, but there was also stretches when nobody was shooting the ball better than Grady Dick. A Kansas kid, wants to be here. I think those are the kids that you really love. When I think of kids like that, I think of, you know, Tyrell Reed, who to me, towards the end of his career, it was a guy that you absolutely had on the court in order to be successful. Even a Brady Morningstar defensively. I mean, those guys hit shots. Kansas kids defended. And then Zuby, the big man from out in Texas, again, a guy that really, to me, legitimized himself as one of the top big men in this class this summer. You know, a guy that's not going to wow you from the outside, but puts in work in the paint, rebounds, block shots. I mean, he can step out a little bit, but I think his best days are going to be being aggressive in the paint, you know, blocking, rebounding shots. And then obviously today with Ernest, I mean, really a guy that's going to be a difference maker on both ends of the court, scoring, rebounding, blocking shots. And you need that guy. You need a guy that can protect the rim, you know, a guy that when – you face a team that loves getting to the basket. You know, if they don't drive and kick, they drive, they try to finish. You know, a guy that's going to block shots, or if not block shots, alter shots. And, you know, he's certainly going to be able to bring that to Kansas next year. And, again, I can't stress enough that how big of a win this is for this. You know, it could have been a situation where he ended up going to UCLA, and then Adam Bone ends up going to Kentucky, and then Kansas gets nobody. So they made it clear that he was a priority, and they got it done. And an absolute huge win for the staff. Couldn't have come at a better time, right? You know, the early signing period is, it's not approaching, but it's getting closer. You had Big 12 media day today, so everybody's going to be writing about it. And so it's a lot of attention on Kansas, who obviously arrived today at Big 12 media day as the preseason team to beat in the conference. And, you know, with the number three preseason ranking, a lot of good going on right now with the basketball team.
We've talked about recruiting. Let's talk about this year's squad. You've been around Coach Self and the guys just today. What did you come away with? You know, what were your impressions as you came away from Big 12 Media Day? And what's the feeling that you kind of pick up on when you're around those guys?
Well, first and foremost, I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but these cats cannot wait to play Missouri. I can tell you that right now. They made it sound like Christian. I mean, I know how Christian Brown feels about Missouri. Excuse me. I know how he feels about Kansas, and that game cannot happen soon enough. So, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, Randy. I mean, they've got Kentucky before. They've got Michigan State. They've got Colorado. They've got the Big 12 schedule. You've got Kentucky. I mean, all those teams. But now I'm really excited for the Missouri game simply because I think – they realize how much it means. They've seen that kind of fire, that passion through Christian. And to me, that's what this is all about. I mean, if you have a rivalry, I don't care what Kansas says or what Missouri says, fans say, when those two teams are on the court, it's going to be hell. I mean, it's going to be a battle. So I'm there. Excuse me. They're definitely excited to see that. You know, Coach Self expression when he talked about playing Remy Martin and Dewan Harris together piqued my interest. I mean, I could see those guys. You know, I really figured it would be the four guys returning starters from last year and Remy. Now I'm not so sure. You know, I'm interested to kind of see how that plays out. You know, the rotation, you know, Coach, I asked Coach Self specifically, I said, hey, you've got 14 guys or however many guys, you know, do you like having this many bodies? He's like, no, because it's a hell of a lot harder to keep 13 guys happy than it is 10. You know, they didn't anticipate this COVID rule going into effect. And, you know, you had guys come up. I mean, Remy Martin tested the waters, came back. Ochai tested the waters, came back. Jalen tested the waters, came back. I don't think they anticipated all those guys coming back. So, it's, I mean, who's going to play? Who's not going to play? You know, he made an interesting point, Self did, saying, hey, when we're at practice, 10 guys play. And he said, you know, I think we've got a few guys that think that that's going to happen when the game starts, but only 5 guys play. So who's going to play? You know, who's going to get significant minutes and who's going to redshirt? To me, that's one of the things to keep an eye on. You know, and Coach Self talked about his, and I know this sounds funny, but not going back to a suit. He loves the attire he's wearing during COVID. He's going to stick with it. You know,
I thought that was really interesting personally.
Yeah, the suit and the tie are gone. He's doing the Bob Huggins look.
That was the first thing I thought of is he's always talked about Huggy and the pullover.
Yeah,
and I was like, look at him. He's going to follow suit.
Yes, he is. And then he talked about, you know, and another interesting point he made, you know, unless you're in Christian Brown's junior class, nobody knows on the team what it's like to play in front of a packed Allen Fieldhouse. The recruits couldn't visit when there were fans in the, you know, half the fans last year.
Very true.
So, they're juiced. I mean, they want that place packed. You know, they want Kansas basketball to be, you know, they've got it, and they wouldn't talk about this publicly, but they got a chance this year to catch Kentucky and become the number one team all time in wins. And I mean, they've got a group of guys, you know, 2019, they were the number one team going in the tournament, had everything they wanted right within their reach. Even David McCormick said, he said, hey, we were going to win that thing. That was ours. COVID hit, you know, last year they had ups and downs, bumps and bruises, had just a crushing loss to USC. And now here they are, ranked number 3 in America, with some returning guys, some new bodies. And I mean, they're ready to go. So I'm so many storylines. I mean, I could go on and on, and you know, how they're going to get up and down, play fast. And, you know, he talked about KG Adams, and I know people talked about him and his short arms, but I mean, this is a guy that everywhere I've gone, people have talked about, the freshman from Texas, how he's just one of those guys that, you know, Bill Self said early on, you know, Marcus Garrett didn't show up in the stat page, but it was a difference. He helped him win games. He said, you know, mm-hmm. I could see KJ Adams having that type of impact. Maybe you don't necessarily see it in the stat book early on, but he's a guy that's going to win us games. So how does he fit in?
He was so critical for this team. That's saying a lot that he thinks he could fill that kind of a role.
Everybody loves KJ Adams, and nobody's talking about him. Nobody's talking about Zach Clemens, who is your perfect pick-and-pop guy. I mean, he can step outside, shoot it. He's going to battle for rebounds. I mean, again, another Kansas kid. I mean, well, he's a Texas kid, but spent some years in Kansas at Sunrise. So, I mean, there's a ton of storylines. I think I've reached the point now where I'm ready to tip the ball up and see what happens. But it's being around the guys again for the first time in a long time was great. You know, spend a little time with Goff. And the one thing, and I don't mean to sidetrack because I know you guys are going to talk about this. To me, the one thing that stood out about the AD was, you know, he said, you know, I'm looking at this Oklahoma game and I'm still as excited today for this Oklahoma game as I was for my first game. And I don't know I don't know if a lot of people know this, and I'm going to pump this guy up real quick before I exit because I think he deserves it. You know, he was at Women's Big 12 Media Day yesterday. And just to me, it made it sound like maybe some guys in the past, I don't know, hadn't done that.
Uh-huh.
He was there and representing Kansas and the women's team, and you know, so it's you know, there's a lot to be excited about right now. I mean, I know the wins aren't coming as fast as we all want them to, but I think again, and John knows more, you guys know more, but it seems to me that maybe for the first time in a long time, all of the pieces are in place, and I think as a Kansas, as fans looking on the outside, you have to be excited. I mean, I don't think it's just speak. I think all these guys involved, from Self to Goff to Leipold, everybody. I mean, I think there's a vision, and hopefully everybody's patient enough to see that through.
Shay, we appreciate you joining us today. It's been a long one for you. Go get a little rest. We will talk with you again soon, though, because there is lots of news coming from the Kansas basketball program.
Sounds good, fellas. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Shay. That is Shay Wildebor, our man on the basketball beat from over in the Allen Fieldhouse suite. John Kirby coming back in. We're going to pick it up now and shift to the NIL portion of the podcast and talk about Kansas football. I'm going to send this on over to the studio line where Kirby has our guest, Matt Beatty, about to join us on the show and get into detail about Kansas athletics and how they are approaching and embracing the NIL process. Our guest for this podcast is about one of the most interesting topics going on right now in college sports, and that is NIL. To hear more about this, we're going to bring in a good friend of mine, known him for a long time, Matt Beatty, former Senior Associate Athletic Director of External Operations and a former baseball player at KU, and he is handling some of the NIL for Kansas with his company Sixth Man Strategies. Matt, how's it going, man?
Kirby, man, that's going great. I appreciate you having me to talk on this this important topic.
Yes, it is. So, all right, listen, you know a lot of people at Kansas. You've been around athletics and worked there for a long time. First question, give everybody the general big picture talk about what NIL is.
Well, you know, for the longest time, and, you know, I can speak on this as a previous student athlete, not that I was marketable or anything as a baseball player with my successes, but, you know, name, image, likeness is now the NCAA has opened up the opportunity for these student athletes to make money on their name, image, and likeness. And so right, wrong, or indifferent, there's I think nationally most people believe that they need to be financially compensated one way or the other. I think, you know, people will have debates on how much and those type of things, and that's here nor there right now. But, you know, we have an unbelievable opportunity, these student athletes now in today's market, to capitalize on their name, image, likeness for the first time. And so, you know, and at Kansas, no different than anywhere else. But at Kansas, we got to capitalize on this in a big way for these student athletes.
Okay, so give me the story of how you got involved in the NIL and why.
You know, having been in college athletics for over, 10 years, mostly 90% of that has been on the, or actually 100% of that's been on the external side, whether in fundraising or marketing. Having been the senior associate AD for the Williams Education Fund, overseeing the fundraising arm for our institution, naturally, when taking a look at NIL, and sitting down with my brother back here in Wichita and really following this avalanche, if you will. And I think that's the best way to describe how the NC2A really dropped this is an avalanche. They just threw up on us, right? And basically said, now it's permissible. And so we were sitting back looking at it and thought, you know what, is there opportunity here for us to jump in this space with our connections, with our ties to our alma mater? We have an unbelievable gal in Chrissy Robin that runs a lot of our businesses when it comes to the marketing side, the branding side. So we had a quick meeting with her saying, hey, is this a space that you think is that we could be viable in? And then, I picked up the phone and I called some of my contacts. My first phone call was Bill. And I said, Coach, is this a space that you're seeing there's opportunity in? Absolutely. What's interesting is as an athletic department employee, he can't say anything. He can't persuade these guys to do anything. He kind of gave single word answers to me of yes, this is, an opportunity. And I said, hey, I'm interested in maybe jumping into this space. Does it make sense? And he goes, absolutely, Matt. I think this is absolutely perfect fit for you and your ties. Because we look at it a little bit different than maybe some. Businesses, if you're looking at this as an ROI opportunity to go out and do commercials and those type of things, are those possibilities? Absolutely. But really, I look at this as an alumni base. Alumni base has really got to drive the message with name, image, likeness, and get behind. And as an institution, and I'm sure we'll get into it, the importance of NIL, at Kansas, we got to get this right. And if we're going to do it, we got to do it top notch and as the best in the country. And with our ties, we think we can do that. And, we're looking at it as we're privileged that we both, my brother and I and our partners, operate businesses that are very successful. So we're not doing this as a big revenue producer for us. We're doing this as an obligation as alumni to assist these players and help them in NIL and navigate this, because the athletic department's hands off. They can't do anything with it. They can assist in education. They can look over contracts for these guys to make sure they're not signing bad deals. But outside of that, they can't solicit anything for these guys. So they're kind of out there. The NC2A, like I said, was a big avalanche, kind of threw up on them and kind of left them to squander a little bit and try to figure this out. And that's where we looked at as an opportunity to assist.
So in your former role, you got a chance to meet donors and fans throughout your time. Has that helped you maybe get this thing going a little bit quicker?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is, it's a lot easier for a guy with some of our ties to jump into the space immediately and see a splash. But more importantly, it's just the institutional knowledge, right? Is I can pick up the phone. I talked to David Reed in KU compliance more today than I ever did as the guy in charge of the Williams Education Fund. And we talked a lot during those times. But we are making sure we're doing this correctly. We're making sure we're compliant in everything we do. Because the most important thing is these guys and gals are eligible. And so I would say the institutional knowledge is probably the most important piece. And then obviously being able to pick up the phone and call people that have like interest as I do in the institution and its success. Yeah, that's a lot easier to do. But, you know, the challenge is not necessarily getting the phone call. It's the education piece. A lot of people don't understand what NIL allows you to do or what's permissible and what's not permissible. So we're spending a lot of time on education. So I would probably say the institutional knowledge and understanding how compliance works and being compliant gives us a leg up to get started. And then obviously it's a relationship business, you know, going out and getting those contacts and finding those that really want to contribute financially to the successes of NIL.
So for people listening out there, Matt, that are just learning about this, maybe they've heard about it and they're starting to figure out more what it's about, just talk about why NIL is important to the University of Kansas Athletics.
You know, I think it's, you know, I like to say this is, you know, I've been privileged to take part in some, you know, important meetings over the years when it comes to conference realignment. More importantly, the financial status of our alma mater, you know, on the athletic side. So I understand that, you know, when Mr. Bowlesby comes out, the commissioner of the Big 12, and says, hey, 50% of our TV revenue is tied to Texas and OU, and all of a sudden we wake up one day and they're gone. That is that's a real problem for our alma mater. And so, you know, you're sitting there and you know, with COVID, the way attendance is down, the lack of success, obviously, on our football program puts a hamper on opportunities to maybe to go, you know, into another conference. The fact of the matter is, and a lot of people don't want to face this reality, but I think we are facing the reality that we don't have another invite at this time, right? We're not staring at another conference right now. We're trying to figure out how to be viable in what's left over. And, you know, whether that's the Big 12 or Big 16, whatever it's going to be in the future, we have to maintain the brand that is Kansas and the strength that the Kansas brand brings. Well, no question about it. I think we would all be crazy not to believe that Kansas basketball brings a strength to our brand that other programs don't at this time. And so we need to make sure if 70 or 50% of our revenue is leaving the conference and conference realignment has poked its ugly head, we need to make sure that Kansas basketball as an alumni base is protected. Well, how do you protect it, right? Whatever conference we're in is the Big 12 or Big 16 or the WAC or the Pac-12. If we end up in any of those conferences or the Big 10 or wherever, can Kansas basketball maintain what Kansas basketball has been for the last, you know, 20, 30 years? And so I truly believe that NIL is integral in Kansas basketball's future. We can talk about football as well, but immediately in basketball, because we have to protect Kansas basketball. We can't utilize NIL in recruiting. I can't go to any coach. I can't call a recruit up. That stuff is still impermissible. I can't do that. Okay. But what happens is NIL is talked about. These players are not going to Bill or any coach and asking in the country and asking how many Big 12 championships do you have or how many national championships you have. They're looking at it. What kind of opportunities do I have with NIL? That's the stark reality right now. And so we need to make sure that as an alumni base that Kansas basketball is protected and these guys, these current athletes are, you know, that they do well in NIL because it speaks volumes to the future. It speaks volumes to the future recruit. it makes Kansas that much stronger when that recruit is looking at Kansas. If, you know, a starting five guy at Kansas is making really good opportunities, money financially in NIL. And so no matter what conference we are, let's just say worst case scenario, and I don't want to scare anybody, but let's just say we're not in a Power Five conference, which I don't think is honest to God. I don't think that's even possible, but let's just say it's not, or it happens. We have to protect Kansas basketball regardless, because, you know, we can go compete if we can go get the right guy still. And NIL is going to be a big piece of that. You know, and for those that disagree with that, I think the numbers scream at us in the face with where things are, the realities of where we are today in college athletics.
All right. So, you know, another one of the big questions you hear from fans, you see it posted on our message board. And when I talk to people out there, what can you do and what can't you do?
You know, it's funny. I shared this with everybody. Having been in athletics and dealing with compliance on a regular basis, my favorite story with NIL getting launched is I called David Reed up, which is the senior associate AD in charge of compliance, and I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about jumping in this space. Can you tell me, what can we do?" And typically in college athletics, you start with what can I do, because that list is so much smaller than what you can't do. What you can't do is much bigger, and so you always start with the smallest list so we can move on. And I remember David saying, "Hey Matt, let's flip flop the discussion. Let's start with what you can't do, because that list is so much smaller." And basically there's four categories, right? I have to stay away from NIL opportunities that involve alcohol, drugs, sex, and gambling. Those four things. Anything else that falls outside of those categories, there's a way to make it permissible. And so that's crazy to me. And so what the NC2A did is when they threw up at us and basically said, you know, go do what you want, they basically created a unfair situation, because states now have authority. So if the states have rules, so for example, I believe, and don't quote me on this, but let's just say Kansas right now, a recruit, let's say Grady Dick, who's committed to the University of Kansas, he because he is in a prep school, he can do NIL because he's not part of Keisha. Well, the state of Florida,
interesting.
You can't do anything with high school or prep schools in the state of Florida. And so what it's created is an unfair playing field, right? And so what NIL has created is it's allowed programs that want to get involved at a higher level, if they have alumni bases that are very, very strong and want to get involved in NIL financially, it has equaled the playing field here. Because a school in, let's just use any school in the country, if they decide they want to jump in this NIL space and provide their current players opportunities, obviously that feeds into current players, leads to recruits asking what current players are doing and receiving. It leads to unbelievable opportunity. But it's so – the playing field is different in every state. And the NC2A has just, well, again, for lack of better words, just thrown up on us and said, deal with it, right? Which isn't like the NC2A. The NC2A usually puts so many things in place that you can't even move. They went complete opposite here and just opened it up. And so, you know, you'll hear me talk about a lot with individuals that want to get involved in NIL. It's truly the wild, wild west.
All right. So on that, the wild, wild west, what do you think the future of the NIL with state and federal legislation and the NCAA, et cetera. What's the future of it?
You know, well, talking locally with state representatives, senators, you know, in the state of Kansas, they don't really have a plan to touch this with a 10-foot pole right now. And I think if you talk to compliance individuals around the country, they're going to tell you they believe that that federal legislation is going to address this. Well, to what extent? I think you're going to see where the feds are going to protect the institutions a little bit more and make it not permissible to utilize the marks. So a student athlete wouldn't be able to use the KU marks or you know, whatever marks they're representing. I think you'll see a little bit of that to try to equal the playing field out a little bit more. You're going to see legislation on whether high school players can participate or not, because what they don't want is one state being able to do something that another state can't do. So I think you're going to see that federally. But when, you know, when is that going to happen? And so it's important for us to capitalize on the flexibility that we have now in the Kansas legislation, and with federal legislation. And so I think what's really difficult is with the NC2A is they've now, went to the extreme, and how are they going to bring this back? How are they going to tie it back together and say, oh, well, now that isn't permissible, but it was, you know, 6 months ago. It's going to be really hard to rewind some of the things. And so that's going to be interesting. I think it's always going to maintain third party. I think it's a conflict of interest. So let's look at the Williams Education Fund, for example. And I want to be very, very clear, is the Williams Education Fund is crucial to the athletic department of Kansas. Crucial. Okay? As a former student athlete in baseball, who you have 35 guys on a roster, 27 of them are on aid, and you're only allowed 11.7 scholarships. You know, the Williams Education Fund is crucial, especially for Olympic sports, but it's crucial for all sports, the full ride students as well. But it's a conflict of interest for a school to go out and raise money for NIL opportunities and go raise money for scholarships and go raise money for a football stadium or, you know, repairs to a facility or anything like that. It's a conflict of interest, and it makes it very hard to go do both, especially when priority point systems are in place. How do you reward those that are giving to student athletes and those type of things? Now, flip-flop that on my side, it's a much easier conversation to have, you know, than pulling heartstrings. Pulling heartstrings is very hard to do in fundraising. And what most people, and I sat down with a supporter, what most people want is they want access. They want access to student athletes. They want access to go have dinner with a player or coach or get autographed items, go to, you know, closed practices, go to those things. Well, those are things that are a lot easier on my side of things, on this side. So I think you're going to see with legislation, I think they're going to maintain it on the NC2A side as a third party system and kind of break away from athletic departments getting involved in NIL and really kind of clear that space. And you're going to see more agencies, third parties getting involved like we are right now. I think we're ahead of the game nationally. I think Kansas, we're in a good position. But what you're seeing is alumni bases starting to creep up. You got Oregon, you got UNLV, you got Florida, you got Kansas, Illinois, programs that are really out first, and it's built by alumni bases and alumni getting involved in the NIL process.
Okay, Matt, I want to ask you this too, because there's one part that's confused me a little bit through the NIL. Now, when someone pays money to a recruit, okay, or I'm sorry, a player, Doesn't there has to be some type of goods of exchange or something, like whether it's they got to record a commercial for them or drive around a car that has an advertisement? It can't just be flat out cash given, can it?
100%, right? So there has to be a swap of goods and services. So, for example, what's crazy about this is, say, John, you're a football player at the University of Kansas, and say I'm a football player at Kansas, and you're more marketable than I. So, you know, the open market dictates the price, right? So you might have somebody that's willing to pay you $5,000 for your signature on a football, but my signature on a football might only be worth $50, right? So the open market determines that, which is great. You know, but there has to be a trade of service, right? You can't hand me $100 and say, have a good day. That was never permissible. It's still not permissible. But there has to be some type of service rendered. And so, you know, I can sign an autographed item. I can give your grandma a call on the phone and wish her a happy birthday. I can go to make an appearance, those type of things. And so, yes, 100%, it's no different. You still can't just hand me a check and expect everything to be okay.
All right, so my last question for you. You know, I think people who follow this have seen Matt Beatty out there as sixth man, which is a basketball term. But I also want to talk about 12th man that you also have, and how you can get involved in football and what your plans are there.
No question about it. You know, we wanted to come out and make a splash, right? And take arguably what is the stronger brand at this time with Kansas basketball and assist for all the reasons we talked about with conference realignment and just being able to walk out and make a splash right away. But 100% our intent is to get involved with all the sports at Kansas and assist. You know, speaking from a baseball player's perspective is, you know, do we have marketable baseball players that can bring in NIL opportunities? Sure, absolutely. Can they bring in the same amount of opportunities as a Dave McCormick? But, you know, maybe at some point, but as of right now, no. So our job is to assist that. Football, I met last week. I met while I was in town. I met with Rob with football and had a conversation about, hey, we would like to represent football players, you know, because we see this as a crucial opportunity for Kansas football. We're up against our backs are against the wall. I know that. We all know this. Open recruiting or open transfer policy is nuts. I think we saw an article written a month ago about when NIL kind of came out, and I think TCU's coach Patterson said something about the SEC is open recruiting his guys through NIL. No question, that's happening. And is it right? No. But is it happening? Absolutely. We need to make sure, for us to get better in football, we have to keep the kids that we have, right? We have to develop the talent that we have. The freshmen, we have to develop that talent. Well, no question, NIL is a big piece of that as well. You know, if you have an up-and-coming kid that has unbelievable opportunities and he's talking to his buddy at Texas Tech and they're offering him, you know, through back channels, they're offering NIL opportunities, no question, those kids are listening to those opportunities. And so we need to make sure that, A, we're protecting the kids that we have and capitalizing on those opportunities that these kids can bring in 100%. And then, you know, football is just a totally different beast, right? You have 102 guys typically for football. And so how do you go about doing that? How do you go about launching? I think you've seen deals with Neil. Neil's doing a lot of local deals. It's a great opportunity for him. He's going to do very well in NIL, especially in the city of Lawrence. And so it's just helping those guys navigate through that and really focusing in on those guys that, you know, Kansas Kansas can continue to build with and build into the future, because the last thing we need is to turn over a roster over and over and again like we have done in the past for various reasons.
Man, Matt, this has been tremendous. And I the big thing I wanted to bring you on, because this NIL, I mean, you know, I hear it through recruiting and through working and Rivals and the people I talk to, that it's not going away. It's only going to get bigger. And I know there are people out there who are still like, okay, what is this? And I hope after hearing you, they all now have more of a sense of what NIL is and how it's going to play a factor in college athletics.
Well, I mean, it's crucial. It's very impactful. It's probably even more impactful for an institution like Kansas right now. You know, we're pleading, we're begging, we're out beating the door down and trying to get those involved that are interested in NIL. This is a great opportunity to get, you know, a little bit more access with student athletes, if that's something you desire, or autographed items, those type of things. But more importantly, there's ways to get involved to assist our program, probably more now than ever. And it is so important, and I can't put an exclamation mark on it large enough of how important NIL is. And we need the fan base, which is massive. We need that fan base to get involved in NIL, and hope that, hope that we can put some deals together that interest them. But getting involved is crucial for this fan base. And it's going to be fun. It's fun being on the frontier of something and being on the front side of it. And we're asking KU fans to get behind it and be a part of it. And we'd love your ideas. We'd love things that you're interested in. We'd love you to check out our website at sixmanstrategies.com. We also, like you hinted on, we also own 12th Man Strategies as well. So our intent is to help and assist with our football program. And we're very, the other day I had somebody call and ask if I was interested in helping out K-State football with NIL. And my first words were, I hate purple. So no, I'm not interested. I'm a Jayhawk. I know the impact that we can make at KU and for these student athletes. And I hope we can present that to the fan base and that they feel like they can make a giant impact as well. So I appreciate your time, John, for letting me come on and talk to your group. And I'm a follower from a distance and read the posts and I love the fan base and the excitement that the fan base has.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on, and listen, here in the future, we're going to have you back on again, kind of give people updates, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, John. Appreciate you.
John, you have to admit, that was an impressive interview, and Matt Beatty does a great job of breaking down what is a really detailed and nuanced conversation.
Yeah, Randy, he is I'll tell you what, if there's an ideal fit for a school to do this, Matt Beatty would be the kind of guy that you're looking at. Okay, I mean, you know, he played baseball at Kansas. He worked in the athletic department. He's worked in college athletics. He knows the donors. He knows alums at Kansas. He's got good relationships with a lot of them. So it's a good fit for him to do what he's doing. You know, he mentioned David Reed in there, who's the head of compliance at KU. David Reed does a great job. The fact that, you know, Matt Beatty and David Reed know each other and they can talk about things. Because let me tell you, this NIL, there's still going to be a compliance part to this, that it all has to be done right. And it has to be above board. So, you know, just the fact that those two know each other. You know, it was interesting in Leipold's press conference this week. I asked him about it, NIL, and he said, you know, at one time, you know, the big thing was cost of attendance, right? It's, I think the players, depending where you're at, most people, I think your cost of attendance is usually about $1,000, a little over, maybe up to about $1,400 a month. A lot of people don't know the players get that check every month for being on scholarship, being a Division I athlete. Well, at the time, it was always like, hey, what's my cost of attendance going to be? Well, now you're going to start hearing NIL, and what's, you know, what can I get if I come to Kansas? You know, what's my NIL? So this is going to be a touchy deal. And, you know, it's good that Beatty, you know, has started the sixth man and then the 12th man, and he's gotten involved with football. And, you know, that football is not going to be neglected because, you know, the transfer portal, Randy. I mean, you get some of these guys that are going to be highly sought after in the transfer portal. They're going to be asking. They're going to say, hey, you know, what's my NIL opportunity there? So this thing's not going away. One of the things that I want to see how the whole NIL plays in, how it factors in, is going to be with donors and then how they handle that along with their donations to the university.
This was important for people to hear really what name, image, and likeness really means and how it can and how it will affect the Kansas Jayhawks and college sports in general moving forward. Now that we've talked about that, let's get your thoughts just quickly. Last weekend against Texas Tech, what were your impressions as you came away from that game?
Well, it was not how you want homecoming to go.
No.
You know, listen, Leipold said it after the game. He's disappointed. Okay. You can see it in the players. You know, they were coming off a bye week. Those guys really felt, talking to the players last week, they felt that they had fresh legs, kind of a fresh start coming off the bye week. They had really good practices, they said. And I think they felt good going in this game. I felt good for Kansas going into the game. And I mean, they just came out and just got blitzed from the beginning. So, you know, Randy, the tough part about it is you start looking down the schedule and you start looking at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and K-State, Texas, TCU. I want to say three of the top four offenses are all coming up here, you know, in a row. I mean, the tough part of the schedule's coming. There is no more bye week, okay? So it is just every Saturday is going to be a tough one. So, you know, this game here was probably your best matchup, maybe personnel-wise. You had him at home on homecoming. But, you know, I think Texas Tech was the one a lot of us circled and said, this is the one that, you know, they're going to have a chance to, you know, be in the game and compete, and that didn't happen. So, you know, they've just got to pick up, move on from there, and keep going on a, you know, Leipold said tonight on Hawk Talk, it's a daily thing. You just got to keep grinding at this thing daily. You know, we used to hear it from Mangino all the time about, you know, sawing wood. And so that's what they've got to keep doing because, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record, okay? And I kind of wrote something Sunday morning on the message board. It was like a little column that just said, listen, guys, we kind of know what's coming here, okay? And I'm not discounting the team. I'm just saying that we know with the schedule the Jayhawks are going to be pretty big underdogs in a lot of games coming up here. So, you know, it's one of those things you just got to get past it. You got to keep getting better. You got to move on.
As you said, I mean, you got to keep getting better and you've got to move on, but the road gets really even tougher this weekend against Oklahoma. The Jayhawks are 39-point underdogs, Curb.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one. You know, it's just not. You know, Oklahoma, now, you know, Oklahoma is a little bit banged up. They've got some injuries, especially on defense. So, you know, I don't know if they'll probably take the attitude of come in and rest those guys and let them get better. And, you know, they're going to sit there and think they're a heavy favorite. So, you know, but they're going to keep working on things. You got the freshman quarterback who looks phenomenal early on. And, you know, Leipold, you know, kind of joked. You could tell he's tongue in cheek that, you know, how many programs can sit a guy who's 15-2 as a starter? He's the preseason Heisman candidate. And now there's a freshman that's taken his job and is playing better. I mean, how many times do you ever see that happen in college football? You just don't. So, you know, hey, I talked to Jason Bean today. And, you know, he came from North Texas and, you know, he kind of said, you know, this is why I came to Kansas. You know, I wanted to play in games like this. I want to play teams like Oklahoma. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one, right? I mean, Oklahoma's in there. They're playing for a shot in the, you know, the national title game. So they're going out each week to prove something. So it'll be a challenging game in Lawrence on Saturday morning.
Absolutely. So let's shift gears just a little bit. Talk about yet another thing related to football that's just as important maybe as NIL and kind of goes hand in hand with it. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting. What's the latest news on Leipold's staff coming from the recruiting trail right now?
Yeah, Randy, you know, a lot you know, I've been really clear on this. Okay. I don't think this is going to be a traditional class. Somebody the other day said, yeah, hey, I looked where KU's ranking was, right? And it was low. It was bottom of the Big 12. And I said, listen, you got to throw it out the window, because this year rankings are not going to matter. First of all, I don't think Kansas is going to sign as many guys as some other schools. Okay. Number two, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a little bit of an emphasis on the portal, maybe some junior college players. Okay. So you're not going to be able to look at Kansas's class this year and really have a value on it, because, you know, I think they're going to hit the portal. Those guys never figure in rankings. So there's going to be less high school players than some other people are going to sign. And this is the year to do it, which I've covered on other podcasts, because to balance out the roster, they can go get some older guys. They can get guys in the portal. They can get junior college players who have 3 years of eligibility. You know, hey, listen, 140 visitors last week. Will Ancio out of Capen was in. Caleb Purdy, a KU commit, was in. He bought his buddy Christian Gray, a four-star corner. Andre Davis, kid wide receiver out of Blue Valley, got an offer. He and I are supposed to talk here in the next couple days. Joey Baker from Southlake Carroll was on as official, and he and I are supposed to catch up here. So, you know, they had a lot of guys in. You know, people go, hey, well, did they stay all game? You know, some of them didn't. Some of them left at half, and some of them had other places to go. But, you know, they had a good group there. This weekend, I think there's maybe the target is 50 to 60, which is still a pretty strong group, you know, coming in for
absolutely
a morning.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah. Camden Beebe from Piper is planning.
That's a family that you and I know very well.
Yeah. I've known Tom. I've been friends with the family there for a long time. And golly, you know, they've produced some pretty good athletes. You know, one is at Minnesota, one's starting at K-State now in the offensive line. So, hey, Tommy was a heck of a football player himself. So, I mean, that kind of runs.
He looks like he could still suit up right now.
Yeah. And then Mason Ellis is a kid I like from Mulvane. He's a safety. I think he went.
That's a name that's been popping up on our message boards for a while.
Yeah. And you know, he's a God. I'll tell you what Mason Ellis is. And this is just me. Okay. And I don't have information and access to the KU recruiting board. I don't know what other guys are out there, and I don't know what their plans are of maybe looking in the portal for a safety. I don't know that. But Mason Ellis is one of those guys. He reminds me of those early year Mangino recruits that you get in, they're local kids. They'll come in, they'll work their butts off. Now, let me tell you, Mason Ellis doesn't come without talent, because I was at KU's camp and I'm pretty certain he went 4.48. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he's a stiff. He's got some ability. Another kid coming in, just communicated with him tonight, was Josh Manning, wide receiver out of Lee Summit. And I could see Kansas offering him. I can. So those are a few guys. Hey, a new name to watch. I threw this one out on the board today. Xavier Benson, a linebacker from Tyler Junior College. The Jayhawks have offered. He was at Texas Tech. He started as a freshman at Texas Tech, linebacker, knows Emmett Jones. Chris Simpson, linebacker coach from Kansas, has been getting involved. So they're making a play there. So, you know, Randy, right now, recruiting is slow. Now, that doesn't mean it's slow for the guys on the inside, because they are building that board. They are looking in the portal. They're looking at some JUCO guys. They're still looking at a few 2022 high school kids. But I think 2023 is going to be the big high school class. So we're not hearing about things yet. But I think this is we're going to start hitting a time here where new names are going to start popping out, because I guarantee you they're working on those on the inside of building that recruiting board.
That's John Kirby, and that's the final word here on the latest edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We've talked about name, image, and likeness. Shea Wildebohr joined us. We talked about the latest KU commit, as well as got into the Jayhawks today attending Big 12 Media Day. We talked about the loss to Texas Tech, looked a little bit ahead to Oklahoma, and talked about recruiting. We've given you basically an around-the-world view of everything about Kansas athletics right now. For John Kirby and Shea Wildebohr, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast. We'll talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.